Hello and welcome to the Lying Media Bastards radio show. I need to turn this volume up. Up, zap, yep, up. Hello, welcome to the Lying Media Bastards radio show.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all always we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel belt and radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
I've heard whispers about the financial support your government receives from the drug industry.
Well, the irony of this, of course, is that this money, which is in the billions, is coming from your country. You see, you are the major purchaser of our national product, which is, of course, cocaine.
On one hand, you're saying the United States government is spending millions of dollars to eliminate the flow of drugs onto our streets. At the same time, we are doing business with the very same government that is flooding our streets with cocaine.
Mm-hmm. See. Let me show you a few of the other characters that are involved in this tragic comedy.
I'm on the border of Bolivia, working for pennies, treated like a slave. The coca fields have to be ready. The spirit of my people is starving, broken and sweaty, dreaming about revolution, looking at my machete. But the workload is too heavy to rise up in arms. And if I ran away, I know they'd probably murder my moms. So I pray to Jesucristo when I go to the mission, process the cocaine paste and play my position.
Okay, listen, Juan Valdez, just get me my product before we chop off your hands for workers' misconduct. I got the power to shoot a copper and not get charged, and it would be sad to see your family in front of a firing squad. So to feed your kids, I need these bricks. 40 tons in total, let me test it. Indeed, I shit, this is good. Pass me a tissue and don't worry about them. I paid off the official.
Yo, it don't come as a challenge. I'm the son of some of the phallists elected by my people. The only one on the ballot, born and bred to consort with feds. I laugh at fate and assassinate my predecessor to have his place in a third world fashion state. Lock the nation with 90% of the wealth and 10% of the population. A central intelligence agency takes weight faithfully. The finest type of China white and cocaine you'll see.
Honey, I'm home. Never mind when your bank account suddenly grown. It's funny, we're so out of this debt for this money we owe with ya. When have I told you that I had two governments overthrown to keep our son enrolled in a private school and to keep our tummy swollen? Come on, our fucking home was built on a foundation of bloody throats, the hungry stolen of their souls. Of course this country's running coke. I took a stunning oath to hush the ones who know. The CIA conducts the flow for these young hustlers that lust for dough.
I go work in the hood, hit my connect. That's what's really good in supply work to the hood. These dudes fucking crack me up, scrutinize like we inferior. Petrified when we meet in my area. My dudes will shoot till I say so. You got the loot, give me the yay yay. Like ice cubes, so don't play with my yayo. We won't stop you bastards, my street scramblers chopping and bagging.
Taking pictures and tapping phones, debating snitches and cracking codes. Fast the cuff or blast the foe on any hustler stacking dough. This pump and crack a blow, and my overtime is where your taxes go. Or gain your trust, get you the hand wave to us, cause we paid up front on the low with cameras taping you. Getting pop away, the prison sentence is doomed. Make the collar and leave with two keys out the evidence room.
Who went my fame? Truck, boat, or plane, they watching you. You think you got work? They copping too. We control blocks, they lock countries and own companies. We had nice cars and sneaker money. Now it's players out there talking about they holding. Put bugs in their house like they down south with windows open. Your dough ain't long, you wrong, you take shorts and soon. Feds will be up in your mouth like forks and spoons. So enjoy the rush, live plush off coke bread. Soon you'll be in a cell with me like Jenny Lopez. In the school I was a bully, now life is fully a joke. I keep afloat on a boat for Peruvian coke. Players do favors for governors and tax makers. Fat Quakers smoke crack and sex acts with bad mayors. The walls got ears, you big mouth's probably scared. Not prepared to do years like Javier.
The story just told is an example of the path that drugs take on their way to every neighborhood and every state in this country. It's a lot deeper than the niggas on your block. So when they point the finger at you, brother man, this is what you gotta tell them.
I'm not guilty. You're the one who's guilty. Lawmakers, the politicians, the Colombian drug lords, all you who lobby against making drugs legal, just like you did with alcohol during the prohibition, you're the one who's guilty. I mean, come on, let's kick the ballistics here. Ain't no Uzis made in Harlem. Not one of us in here owns a poppy field. This thing is bigger than
immortal technique.
This is big business. This is the American way.
Hey, folks. This is the Lying Media Bastards Show. I am Jake. That is their Immortal Technique. Doing Peruvian cocaine. I'll explain where that came from in a minute. For that, Propagandhi doing Fuck the Border, MDC doing Violent Rednecks, and La Plataforma doing Papeles at the beginning. Most of those having to do with the border, immigration, racism, and issues of that sort. The Immortal Technique song was more specific about the drug trade and the ironic way in which, although there's so much the politicians talk such a good game about the problems of coming from the borders, how the U.S. plays a role in creating those very same problems at the beginning. That was the point. That's the way I wanted to weave it into that thread of songs. And then I played it before on the show, and you may have heard it. That first song, Papeles para Todos, meaning legalization for everybody, which I think is a darn fine idea. A lot to talk about on the show. I will talk in-depth about the immigration protests and police brutality in Los Angeles that took place on Tuesday, May 1st. Just spoke with a friend of mine, Rosa, who was there at the event. I've seen a lot of first-hand accounts, photographs, videotape, and I think I can we can speak of the of what went down there. Also want to talk, it seems like every week I have to talk about the U.S. attorney's firing scandal, because I feel like it's a very simple situation, and the media keeps making it as though it's some sort of long, drawn-out Byzantine scandal that we're just learning bits and pieces here and there, when really it's been pretty clear from the beginning what this is about. And all these details, sure, it spells out who was playing a part and how these improprieties took place, but that's it's sort of like saying that you know, you you found the guy who you found the dead body, you found the murderer, he's holding the knife in his hand with the blood on the knife, and you're sitting there trying to figure out exactly how he got into the house and in which how he moved his hand exactly, what sort of stabbing motion did he do. Well, sure, I mean, it's nice to know the full story, but you still kind of know what happened already. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Middle East. There is an event going on there now. Some potential diplomacy going on. As you all know, diplomacy and Bush administration are pretty much oil and water. We might be getting a little bit of mix in there. We might be getting a little vinaigrette going. I guess that's oil and vinegar. Never mind. And then also talk about politics and the press. And the way that things go. A little bit about net radio. Some new developments on that front. Don't know if any of you all listened to that, my last show. The one that I sort of did not do live and assembled as though it was, I don't know, sort of like I had a lot of pieces of dead snake. And I was lining them up and sewing them back together to try to get a whole live snake. I don't know that it worked exactly. But it kind of looked like a snake when I was done. That's about the best I can say about it all. Something I want to mention quick, because it's right in here in front of me, is... what the hell? Hold on. Ah, stupid background music. Keep playing. There we go. Yeah, one quick thing, because it's right in front of me. I've mentioned in the past about alternative media and about... activist-friendly spaces and how if we don't support them, they go away. Just found out a couple days ago a news website that I would visit fairly frequently, the New Standard, newstandardnews.net. Some months back, they had some financial troubles, maybe even a year ago. I can't recall how long ago it was. They had some financial trouble. They had a fund drive. Enough people contributed to keep them going. I visited their site earlier this week, and here's the top story. The New Standard ceased publishing on April 27th, 2007. You have reached the homepage of The New Standard, which ceased publication on April 27th, 2007. You can still access the nearly 3,000 original articles and numerous other features published by TNS via the links below. The New Standard was a unique online newspaper founded on the belief that the dominant model and methods of profit-focused news journalism have failed the public interest. blah, 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 skip down. But for various reasons, TNS never gained the level of support needed to provide sustainable jobs and to develop the readership it needed to thrive. After nearly 3.5 years online, the five staffers who formed the People's Networks Collective, the prophet that published TNS, decided to shut down operations. This is frustrating because they didn't give us a chance. You know, if you were faced with all sorts of mounting bills and frustration and what felt like a lack of support over time, you might just say, you know, I'm done. This project is not going to ever break through and become a self-sustaining entity. But I really do wish that they'd had another fun drive or let us know that things were going poorly instead of just up and saying, sorry, we're done. But their call, of course. We will miss you, newstandardnews.net. So normally I don't do much news at this part of the show. I just give you the little table of contents. Music-wise, who we got? Who do we got? Got a band called Nuts, who may or may not play. Lamb Chop, The Deer Hunter, Mavis Staples, The Panthers. And coming up next, Tomahawk. Maybe if some of you older folks might remember the band Faith No More, the weird metal alternative hybrid of the early 90s. Well, I guess late 80s, early 90s. They sort of fell apart by the mid 90s. But their frontman, Mike Patton, very strange, creative, weird individual. He's got like 5 different bands since then, and even probably during then. One of whom is named Tomahawk. There again, they're sort of a weird metal alternative experimental Portuguese hybrid. And I just was reading an article today about their newest album, which is called Anonymous. Not sure if it has been officially released yet or not. But in this article, it was saying that the guitarist for the band took an interest in American Indian music. And he said that he saw a lot of Indian bands play, and he said he was actually kind of disappointed at how much they sounded like other rock bands. So he started doing some digging through research into Native American music, and I guess he found actual sheet music, transcribed sheet music done by, I guess, in like the 1800s or something, by researchers, anthropologists, whoever, of the songs that those tribes were doing at the time. And it was pretty much anonymous, like the title. It didn't say who wrote the music or who transcribed it or where it came from. And he said, well, you know, what if we, our strange metal alternative experimental hybrid band, what if we tried putting our own spin on this sheet music of traditional Indian music from 100 years ago? And they said, hey, sure, let's give it a shot. And that's what this album is. Anonymous is that sort of stuff. I don't think they're actually trying to recreate Native American music or promote it. They just saw this as an interesting inspiration to try to make their own expression and their own interpretation of it, I suppose. So it's, you're not going to hear it and say, wow, that sounds like, you know, it was made by, they weren't using traditional instruments. I don't think they understand the religion or traditions behind these things. Maybe they do. What do I know? So you're going to get some interesting experimental music, possibly, which seems to be based upon sheet music, anonymous sheet music of Native American tribes from the ancient past. So we'll go with that. I think it's interesting stuff. This year, first song is going to be called Mescal Right. Mescal Right number 1. There's 2 Mescal Right songs on the album. And I might play more of them later if I feel like it or not. So I'm Jake, Lying Media Bastard Show. If you have your AOL Instant Messenger, you can send us a message, Radioactive SD. If you have a Yahoo Instant Messenger, unfortunately, we don't have that software on this computer anymore, so I can't chat with you. Sorry, Uncle Howie. You can send me an email, though. If you want to send me a message, write to, I'll be here in the studio, lmbradio@gmail.com. Or, if you're coming after the fact, listening to the podcast, you just have that email option. And actually, let me make an announcement. Something I'd like to do on a future show is I'd like to play your favorite songs. You know, if you listen to the show, obviously we probably have some similar tastes here and there in music, some overlapping taste at least. Let's make a show where it's you guys send me your favorite songs. Send me an MP3 of your favorite song, and I'll try to put together a show that's everybody's favorite songs. Send an MP3 of your favorite song to lmbradio@gmail.com. We'll have us a badass favorite of all time show, and maybe we'll all learn each other about each other's musics, and it'll be pretty cool. I'll mention that again later in the show, because I think that'd be a fun one to do. Anyhow, here's Tomahawk doing Mezcal Right One. Thanks for listening. Here we go.
Yeah. freeze locked overseas with Kajabi MC and the Rock. I came to see the mommies in the spot. On the count of three, drop your body like it's hot. One, young, two, you. One, two, three, young hoes up. Snake charmer, move your body like a snake mama. Make me wanna put the snake on ya. I'm on my eighth summer, still hot. Young's the eighth wonder. All I do is get bread, yeah, I take wonder. I take one of your chicks straight from under your armpit. The black Brad Pitt, I'm at till 6 in the a.m. All day I'm P-I-M-P. I am simply attached to the track like Simply. It's simply good. Young ho, infinitely hood. From the U.S., you just lay down slow. Catch a boy mingling, England, meddling in the Netherlands, checking in daily under aliases. We rebellious, we back home, screaming leave Iraq alone. But all my soldiers in the field, I will wish you safe return. But only love kills war, when will they learn? This international hoe been having a flow. Before Bin Laden got Manhattan to blow. Before Ronald Reagan got Manhattan to blow. Before I was cabinet there back and forth. Bro, we had it all day, poppy in the hallway. Cop one on for Simon to give you more, yay. Yeah, but that's another story. But for now, mama, turn it around and let the boy play.
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen, listening to the Lying Media Bastard Show. I'm Jake. That just there was This Machine Kills doing Carpet of Gold, Carpet of Bombs. For that, we had Punjabi MC featuring Jay-Z doing Beware. G's Mary Chain doing Sugar Ray, and we started that off with Tomahawk doing Mezcal Right One. So let us speak of the brutality. Let's talk about Tuesday, in MacArthur Park in Los Angeles, near Foreman's Stormfront grounds of mine. I lived on east side of Hollywood, east side of Los Angeles. Some years back, before the immigration rights movement sort of got in full swing, at least as far as the media is concerned, a group called MeOne, the multi-ethnic immigrant worker organizing network, I believe it stood for, on May 1, they organized a protest in favor of the rights of immigrants, proposing some sort of legalization, amnesty, or something for people who are living here in the United States, working, who either were here illegally or did not have their official paperwork or whatever. That was probably 2001, and MeOne has been organizing, I believe, a protest every year since then. This year, their May 1st immigration rights protest coincided with last year's huge Great American Boycott, the huge immigrant rights protest, took place on May 1st last year with millions of participants. They had another one this year, and MeOne organized one in that part of Los Angeles, MacArthur Park, kind of near downtown. And actually, just a block away from where I used to broadcast with Kill Radio. At one point, we had an office right off MacArthur Park. And let me reminisce fondly. That was a great fucking summer. We were there. It was the top of a 6-story building. We had this little tiny studio with windows on every side. It had the windows open wide. Hot day, cool breeze, and you're looking out over this beautiful park and ponds and fountain in sort of eastern Los Angeles. It was a nice time. Anyhow, all of the coverage that I saw of these protests, of this year's May 1st protests, all of the news reports compared them to last year. As we can see, the turnout this year was much smaller than the turnout from last year, which was really galling, because, okay, yes, it is very true, the numbers were smaller, but the way in which it was said was sort of to imply that the movement is losing steam, or that people don't care as much as they pretend to, or that next year there will be no protests at all, when really the reality is that last year at this time, it was urgent. Congress was putting forth laws that was going to make it illegal to, you know, like, criminalize, like, put in prison, like, deport you immediately. Anybody who was an illegal immigrant, or almost anybody who dealt with illegal immigrants, and the Latino community in the United States knows that it's not going, this sort of ill treatment would not be limited to people who were here illegally. It would mean everybody with brown skin, everybody who somebody might consider to be Mexican or Latino or Central American, South American. Everybody was going to be treated badly. All those folks were going to be treated badly by this law. So millions turned out. And I mean, it was something that was urgent. It was going to tear families apart, you know? You were born here, but your father was in the game into the country illegally. They were going to deport your father, send him to another country. You know, your wife, your mom, your kids. You're going to be separated from your children. So, of course, millions of people lined the streets for this. This was a big deal. Now that legislation is no longer pending, so not as many people felt like they had to show up to the protest. There was not an urgent thing. And that is why there was fewer this year than last year. It's not that people stopped caring. It's not the problems are solved. It's not that the immigration movement, or that the Latino community no longer has political power or will. As you fucking news people implied. No. Anyhow. So, MeOne protest in Los Angeles on Tuesday. By everyone's account, peaceful protest, except for the cops. All the accounts I've read said the police, from the very get-go, were trying to be provocative. They're there in their riot gear. They're kind of pushing people around. They're being belligerent. They're trying to provoke something. This is standard police procedure at many protests. The very police action, you know, police presence and behavior and conduct is provocative in itself. You know, I know there's supposed to be this idea that, you know, cops don't do anything. You know, cops are neutral until somebody breaks the law or something like that. There's this idea that we're all, that, you know, cops standing there in riot gear in line, you know, looking threatening, holding their clubs or their tear gas guns or whatever, that's supposed to make us feel neutral or safe. No. Their very presence there ups the tension immediately. Especially when they're in there, you know, when they got the riot shields and the helmets with the clear, you know, things in the front for the face. Their bulletproof armor. It's scary. Suddenly everybody is more scared than they were previously. It's even less scary if it's that many cops, but they're just plain clothes. Well, to some folks. I have some friends who, they've been beaten by riot cops and plainclothes cops, so it makes no difference what they're wearing. Anyway, and I've seen a number of protests where the police, they decide, okay, we got to herd the crowd. And they start moving in unison and, you know, kind of pushing people, trying to nudge them, cramming them together. And that, again, that in itself is a provocative act. I know that in theory, oh, the police have the authority and you're supposed to do what they say. But, you know, if you're in a crowd and somebody keeps pushing you and keeps pushing you and pushing you and pushing you, and there's no, you know, you're sort of stumbling back, or there's somebody behind you that you're getting shoved into. If you do that to a large group of people, somebody's going to get angry and push back, and that's all the cops need. Oh, okay, this guy pushed me. Now it's on. And that's what happens frequently. I don't know what happened at this past protest, except that it sounds like it was mostly peaceful, and like last year's immigration protest, was largely families. You know, it was not, you know, was it a bunch of hardcore communists, or, you know, wasn't the Black Bloc in their, with their threatening bandanas. You know, it wasn't people throwing Molotov cocktails at the cops. It was mostly, you know, people out there, husbands, wives, and their kids who want to live in the country legally, or have friends and family that want to be in the country legally and not have to worry about the police and immigration and all that. And pretty abruptly, from all the video footage I've seen and all the first-hand accounts, the cops were suddenly there and angry and deciding that the place needed to be emptied. 25 to 30,000 people in this public park. And with little to no warning, I spoke with my friend Rosa before I came on the show. She said that the police gave the order to disperse, and then about 2 minutes later started up with the beatings and the tear gas and the rubber bullets. And she said that their order to disperse was in English. Now, this is in front of a crowd that was probably, I wasn't there, I'm going by my experience in past years, probably 80% Latino, probably most comfortable speaking Spanish, hearing things in Spanish. Since it was this multi-ethnic immigrant group, Muon, that put it on, imagine there's also a large number of Koreans, Vietnamese, Chinese, and other folks from other Central American countries. I remember when I went to that rally a few years back, it took a long time because they actually translated the language. Every time somebody gave a speech, they translated it into like four or five different languages, so you sort of heard the same speech like five times, four of which were languages you probably didn't know. But, first of all, 2 minutes? You give somebody 2 minutes warning. Imagine you're anywhere doing anything. Big crowd of people. Suddenly the police saying, you gotta disperse. Everyone must leave the area. For your first reaction is like, what? What's going on? Do we have... And you, like, turn around. What? You know, you turn to your friends. What are we doing here? Are they telling us, do we have to leave? They're talking about us? And maybe at that point you actually ask the cops, and usually the cops would not be very friendly at this point. You know, you'd say, well, hey, I'm sorry, officer, but, you know, I'm confused. Are we supposed to leave? Usually at that point they probably wouldn't answer, or they'd get hostile with you, as though you're supposed to, as though this is not a usual situation for you, that you're standing around and cops are yelling at you to leave. So you want some clarification. The cops don't like that. I saw all sorts of video footage that was pretty awful. One where the riot cops are advancing on, you know, in line, There's a guy laying on the ground. He gets up. About two or three cops with their batons start smacking the guy in the leg, around the knee. He falls over again. It's like, what's happening there? What? And he was unarmed. You know, he didn't do anything to him. And if they're trying, they say they want people to disperse, and they're going to hit him in the leg so they fall down and can't get up. What? Doesn't even make sense. I read one report from a member of Cop Watch LA, and I thought he probably had the best explanation of the situation. And he said that in March of last year, and in May 1st of last year, the immigration protests were so huge that the police were just overwhelmed. They had no power at all. They couldn't shape the crowd. There was just too few of them in the face of that many protesters. And he said that it really stuck in their craw. It made them feel weak and powerless, and that they didn't want that to happen again this year. So in his opinion, that the police did what they could to weaken the protest and to end it quickly so it did not again get to this point where they lost control. Also, we should mention that the members of the media were victims in a lot of this. I think a couple of television news reporters were actually taken to the hospital because of their injuries. A lot of it was caught on film. Rosa told me about a friend of hers who'd been shot in the stomach with a rubber bullet, and he was on camera. He had this big bloody welt on his stomach. And then he was speaking to a legal observer. Almost all the protests in L.A., and we're in a lot of parts of the country, you get members of the National Lawyers Guild who come out, and they sort of try to make sure the police obey the law. So when a member of the National Lawyers Guild was talking to this fellow, I think his name was Gerardo, and taking down the details of his story about how he was shot by the cops even though he didn't do anything, shot with a rubber bullet, and while she's taking his statement, the cops shot him again. It was just horrible. She told me he's now got two big bloody welts on his stomach. And actually, if you watched any of the mainstream coverage, Gerardo was actually interviewed on CNN. And then the reporter was speaking with Anderson Cooper. Anderson Cooper then tried to say, oh, but those bullets are really soft, right? You can just squeeze them, and they're actually very soft. And so, good going, Anderson Cooper. And something that would drive me crazy, too, is I read recently that a huge majority, but a significant portion of young people, like in their teens to mid-30s, think that free trade is a good thing. Just a positive, it's a good thing. And the immigration stuff shows why you're wrong. Please tell all of your young friends that free trade is not good. I mean, sure, it sounds good. It sounds like, you know, clean air or free speech or something like that. Free trade is all is a code for, you know, big business gets to go wherever it wants, and people can't. I mean, it's insane that there's that disconnect in people's minds, that somehow it's okay for a corporation to take jobs and send them to across the border, send them across 10 borders, send them across oceans, and give them to people over there, but you don't necessarily have the right to go to that country where the jobs have gone to. Money can travel anywhere, goods can travel anywhere, jobs can travel anywhere, people can't, which is weird. But the free trade, I mean, obviously it's tied in very much with immigration, especially this NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, took away a lot of jobs from Mexico. You know, it took away a lot of farming jobs from Mexico, replaced many of them with sweatshop jobs, but even then, there was not enough sweatshop jobs to make up for the lost farm jobs, and then people want to go where there are jobs, and they come to the United States, and there's our immigration problem, in quotes. People need work. They're going to go where the work is. And, yeah. Anyhow, I'm Jake, Lying Media Bastards. Have I rambled enough? Should I play some more music? I don't know how long I've been talking. Let's see here. I'll talk a little bit more. I've got another weird development. On my Frankenstein Together show of last week, well, this weekend, I spoke about net radio, and that was one of the issues I spoke about. And it was talked about how there was this new policy change that said that starting May 15th, I believe it was, all internet radio stations, webcasters, were going to have to pay these incredible royalty rates for the songs that they played. Royalty rates so high that pretty much everyone agreed that all internet broadcasters would go out of business if they paid them. And Congress and the policymakers didn't seem to really care. It's like, those rates are so high, they're going to drive people out of business? Oh, well. Amusingly, those rates don't actually go to the artists. These royalties were going to go to these companies, which allegedly passed them along to the artists. I don't know how much accountability there actually is there. Anyhow, thanks to some lobbying, and some congressmen did jump on the ball and start saying, you know, that sounds ridiculous. It's now been postponed. My understanding is that now it's been pushed back to July 15th, that this time that this would kick into effect. There's been a new bill presented called the Internet Royalty Fairness Act or Equality Act, I forget which says that Internet broadcasters would have to pay the same royalty rates that satellite radio pays, which is about 7% of revenues generated during those times when you're playing music. In addition, now it sounds like the National Association of Broadcasters, which is a lobby group for actual over-the-air broadcasters, you know, your Clear Channels and your sports radio and, you know, all those sort of stations and television stations. Now, they're a big lobby group. National Association of Broadcasters has agreed to speak out in favor of this new bill and against the heavy royalty rates. When I first heard this, my immediate reaction was to frantically try to figure out their angle. First thing I thought was, whoa, that's messed up. They see us as competition, the internet or the real broadcasters. Why would they speak out on our behalf? So my mind started, you know, frantically, okay, what's their angle? What are they trying to do? How are they trying to screw us? I think what it is that actually some of these broadcast stations also broadcast over the internet and are realizing that they would have to pay these royalties as well, these heavy-handed royalties. And on top of that, I think that perhaps broadcast radio sees this as a potential buffer against satellite radio. So if they keep internet broadcasters alive, maybe we can help them curtail the power of satellite radio. So thought that was interessante. I'm gonna play some music now. What should I play? I will play this song. I don't know how much y'all are gonna like this one. I enjoyed it. Sisters of Mercy, goth band from the 80s and 90s. Kind of goofy, like all goth bands are. But one of their biggest hits was a song called "This Corrosion," a long, dancey, gothy number. This is not that song. This is a version of "This Corrosion" done by a country band. So I found it amusing and interesting, and well done, actually. It's kind of taken on its own merits. It's still a pretty decent song. This is going to be a band called Lamb Chop doing "Sisters of Mercy" is "This Corrosion." And it's a little long, I'll give you that, but it's good stuff. I'm Jake Lang, Meaty Bastards, etc.
hear me, give me sign, child. Do you hear me call? See, child, right and wrong. Give me the things that don't last long. Give me sign, child.
Thank you. How much it really means, la 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 la, dear to me, yes siree, dear to me, yes siree. Can't you see, baby, I can't lose those good old Basin Street blues.
just as much it really means. Hey, I see the moon and the moon is pale, and it look like they're taking some cat to jail. No, it's the moon is pale, and the sun is, and the sun is gone, and the steamboats are coming, and they're splashing, and they're going, woo, woo, Bibles, and the pale moon shining on the fields below. Folks all singing songs soft and low. You need to tell me more, cause I know. Sleepy time down south, soft wind blowing through the pine wood trees, and the folks down there live a life of ease. When old mammy falls upon her knees, the sleepy time down south, steamboats on the river, coming and going, splashing the night time. Hey, Baba Bubbles, anchors ringing, everybody singing, they dance till the break of day. Hey, dear old Scotland, our dream is on, and you take me back there, where I belong. I would love to be if my man was on, but it's sleepy. Yeah.
Everything you touch.
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen and unisex cyborgs. I'm Jake, Lying Media Bastard Show. That is there with Ladytron doing Destroy Everything That You Touch. They're really their best song. I wish their other songs were up to that caliber. For that, we had Louis Prima doing Basin Street Blues, When It's Sleepy Time Down South, a medley of those two jams. For that, Damian Marley doing All Night, Refused doing New Noise, and we started that with the Countrified Gothic cover of This Corrosion. Sort of had a little bit of a Leonard Cohen feel to it, if you ask me. But yeah, what was I going to speak of? I forget. Oh, yes. Again, let me give a little short and sweet. They continue to have hearings about this U.S. attorney scandal, Alberto Gonzalez and all that. Again, let me get you to the quick explanation. Members of the Bush White House basically got certain members of the U.S. attorneys, which is a high-ranking, a high rank of prosecutor. I believe there is 95 U.S. attorneys across the country. Got them fired if they did not if they did not use their office to help Republicans win elections. That's the short version. I'll repeat it. White House. Mostly Karl Rove, we presume, got certain prosecutors fired if they didn't abuse their prosecutorial powers to help Republicans and hurt Democrats in elections, in local or state elections. Short version, we hear a lot of other stuff in there, a lot of other, details. Oh, this person, did they have the authority? Oh, the emails? Oh, blah, blah, blah. There's your short version, trying to... Basically, they were trying to corrupt the election process, which already is plenty corrupt, which is saying something. Now, you may have heard on today's news about Syria. Well, okay, first there's Middle East summit sort of stuff going on. Condoleezza Rice going over on behalf of the United States. God help us. And President Bush was asked if she would speak to the foreign minister of Iran, or their diplomatic corps. And President Bush said, "Well, if she bumps up into him in the hallway, I know she'll be polite." Did we think she was gonna spit on him or throw shit on him? He doesn't know anything, does he? People were asking, "Are you gonna negotiate with Iran?" And he's all, "Well, she won't pee on his shoes." Doesn't really answer the question. But still no word about what if she'll do any talking with Iran, but they will talk with Syria. Now, if you'll recall, last month, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, the Democrat, she went to Syria. Spoke to the head of the Syrian government. Can't remember if he's a president or a emir or I don't know what he's prime minister. And there was lots of bitching by conservatives. Oh, I can't believe it. She's sending mixed signals, and oh, we're trying to be tough with Syria, and you know, we got to have one head of government. She's undercutting the president. We need to have a unified foreign policy. And now the White House is talking to Syria. So at the very least, Pelosi going wasn't really a bad thing, and at the best, it's got us talking with Syria. As you may know, Syria, being a country in the Middle East, can possibly have some sort of influence on what's going on in Iraq. Hence, talking to Syria, not a bad idea. Same with Iran. Hey, Iran, you can do stuff and help stabilize Iraq to some extent, which is something that all the countries around there want, because you don't want a civil war at your front door. So, there you go. I don't know that Nancy Pelosi's visit actually had any impact of making this happen, but might have, and certainly didn't seem to do much harm, despite all of the whininess of our dear conservative friends. Now, the biggest legislative news, of course, the Congress passed a war spending bill, which would allow the war to continue for like another year. Another year's worth of bombing and killing and shooting and torturing and yeehaw. But they put a thing in there saying they'd have to start pulling the troops out fairly soon. Bush vetoed it. Setting a date for withdrawal is setting a date for failure. Well, we've been failing for 4 years. Why not actually make it official? Why not put a date on it? It's just, it's so ridiculous that he's acting like his little, oh, we're going to send 10,000 more troops to Baghdad. That'll solve everything. It's a total change of tactics. It's nothing of the sort. And then like, oh, we got to wait and got to give it time to see if it works. You know, we can't turn it. You can't already say it's a failure. We got to give it some time, which is nonsense. And of course, you know, it keeps ignoring that Americans, you know, want us to leave Iraq. You know, there's two schools of thought. Well, let me back that up. Two schools of smart thought about what would happen if the U.S. left Iraq. One is that if the U.S. left Iraq, it would be a catastrophe because it's already a catastrophe. And things either would stay the same or possibly even get worse, but there's no way that the U.S. troops can make them better. There's one school of thought. The other school of thought is that things might actually improve, because the occupiers would be gone, for one, and secondly, it would tell the Shia government that they don't no longer have the U.S. backing and protection, and they're going to have to come to some sort of agreement with the Kurds and the Sunnis if they want to not be attacked all the time. So one school of thought says things will get worse, but we can't make them better. Another school of thought says things will get better if we leave. You know, not better as in solved, at least not for quite a while, but, you know, there you go. And I'm thinking that, you know, I've seen polls saying that like 60% of Americans want a timetable for withdrawal. They want the U.S. out. And they even want Congress to withhold funding if that's what's necessary to get the troops out of Iraq. But what are the congressmen doing? Well, a lot of them voted for this thing, but not enough are willing to vote for it to overcome Bush's veto. Which, you know, puts them in a position, okay, what's going to happen next? I don't know. Democrats have been mildly tough lately. We'll see if they follow that up. But it's insane. You know, if you're a congressman, this looks to be an issue you win with. Vote against the fucking war. People don't want the war. Vote against it. Hey, you got 60% approval rating going. I suppose except in certain parts of the country it's less popular. But you know what I'm saying. Now, the reason they're not voting for it, well, okay, some of them are idiots. Some of them are neocons who really think the U.S. needs to control the globe. Some of them are stupid enough to believe the president. Some of them are just loyal to the president. But a lot of them, I think, it's they know. Here's the process. You vote for this bill. Your opponent says, you're against America. Why is he voting against the troops? He hates the troops. And the media will repeat that. Because they're idiots. The media won't say, and today, Senator White Guy voted for this bill, which 60% of his constituents wanted him to vote for. They will say, Senator White Guy's opponent declared that this bill was going to hurt America and turn all little boys into gay Muslims. And that would be it. They would report the attack, and that would be it. And then people would, despite themselves, have this little bit of negative information planted in their head against the guy who voted for this bill. even though they support him voting for the bill. So that's what it is. It's fear of how the media will treat this. It will give their political opponents ammunition, which, because the media likes the controversy, they will fan the flames of that. They will fan the flames of us getting what we want to try to get the guy who voted for what we want thrown out of office, because it'll help sell more bars of soap on their television network. Now, our pal Glenn Greenwald's got another little piece on his blog, list of columns, whatever, where I thought it was interesting. He lists what he thinks. Well, he was speaking with some Beltway pundit. There's some website called The Politico, which is really kind of lame and gossipy and whatever. And he criticized The Politico, and The Politico said, "Oh, well, you bloggers, you complain so much because you are partisans, whereas we are pure objective beams of light." And and that's what a lot of these journalists seem to do, is they, when they get criticized, they claim that the criticism is from people who want them to act as though they were an agent of a certain political agenda. So, oh, the reason you don't like us, Mr. Left-Wing Democrat, is you want us to only say left-wing Democrat things. And you, Mr. Conservative, you don't like us because you want us to only say right-wing, crazy right-wing things. And that means, since we're being criticized by both of you, we must be correct and perfect. So, I don't know what accent that was. That was a, that was a weirdo dialect. But, so Greenwald says, you know what? I look at the criticisms of the press frequently, and none of them are partisan. Let me point out what those three main criticisms are, he says, and I will read them. Criticism 1. Mainstream journalists pompously spout claims that are factually, objectively, demonstrably false, and then, in their pomposity, refuse to acknowledge or correct their error. For example, Times managing editor Richard Stengel tells viewers that Americans do not want Karl Rove questioned under oath, even though all relevant polling data shows exactly the opposite. Andrea Mitchell tells her viewers that Americans want Louis Libby pardoned and that Nancy Pelosi now is just as unpopular as Denny Hastert was before the November elections, even though those statements are the opposite of reality. None of that gets corrected because it's spouted lazily or without the slightest concern for whether it's true. Does that sound like a demand that journalists be more partisan? Criticism 2. Journalists mindlessly pass on government statements without bothering to investigate if they are true, and they grant anonymity to government sources to do nothing but spew false government propaganda with impunity. No investigation is conducted to determine if the government claims are true. They are just passed along by journalists who claim that repeating what they are told is the essence of their job now. And even when it turns out that their sources deliberately lied to them in order to plant false claims with the journalists' viewers or readers, they continue to protect the identity of the sources and refuse to tell the American public who was behind the deliberate falsehood. Does that sound like a demand that journalists be more partisan? Number 3. National journalists wallow endlessly in vacuous, vapid, empty-headed, petty gossip, obsessed with meaningless chatter and snide, personality-based assaults more appropriate for a junior high clique than anything else, and they do so while ignoring the most substantive and consequential political matters. One example illustrating this criticism would be a flamboyantly launched new online political magazine run by the nation's most institutionally prestigious political journalists, expending extraordinary amounts of time and energy writing about John Edwards' haircut, rather than covering any number of political scandals, matters concerning war, and a whole variety of other issues with profound impact on the lives of millions of people. Does that sound like a demand that journalists be more partisan? Bastards. I'm tired of them. Anyhow. So that's me rambling about how the press is sucky. That's not even all me. That was part of that was me rambling about journalists being sucky. Part of that was Senor Greenwald. But which reminds me, there was a really nice article by Matt Tybee lately about how strange it is. The presidential election has already apparently started 18 months before the elections will actually take place, which is pretty mind-boggling. Let me find that article. He had some good lines. But, man, it's... And he's talking about how the media handles this, and it is so ridiculous. They turn it into, you know, he calls it like turning it into a reality show, where they're out there trying to humiliate the candidates, break them down, and they create these stereotypes. They create these characters, and act like the goal is for them to overcome these horrible character flaws. But my favorite is he had a line where he talks about at these Democratic debates that recently took place. I didn't watch them. I don't care. The moderator, Brian Williams, said something to the effect of, Senator Hillary Clinton, your friend Rudy Giuliani says that said that Republicans are seen as better on national defense issues than Democrats are. What do you think about that? And Tybee points out that what he's really asking is, hey, Hillary Clinton, a Republican political candidate says that Republicans are better on national security issues. Why? Tell me how you agree with that and why. It should have been, and the answer should have been, dude, he's a Republican. Of course he's going to say Republicans are better on these issues. But no, that's not what she said. She went on to give some long, rambling response about how people are feeling this and so, anyhow, I'm starting to sniffle into the microphone, meaning my cold is needing some taking care of. So I will play some music and stop talking to y'all. But, so this next track, Death From Above 1979. They are currently, I think, my favorite band, sort of just a noisy, bouncy rock duo. And let's get them going. Death From Above 1979, doing Romantic Rites.
Romantically, come. fuzzy lumpkin dumping. Enough raw lead to leave a forehead sunken. When he's on tour, keep your paws off his pumpkin dumpling. Town village nympho, now it's all his dough. The way she got down was far from privilege info. Break up to make up, wake up and smell the endo. Just from how she liked to show her belly button window. Couldn't tell him nothing, 5200 Atari or Sega. Test tube L's with the lid, Garcia y Vega. His tongue is like a sword that's mighty like the pen. And you ain't seen nothing like the mighty Quinn. Alrighty then, seal the deal with the shaking of a hand. People's catching feelings like it's making of the band. Have your fake man quaking in his vans when he threw a jam. Fans break dancing in the stands. Chances are you lose the battle and the war. Trying to go to shore with just a paddle and a oar. Ooh, shucks, you should have known them two smucks. Would have came through the game, you lame ducks.
Your metal fingers fix the beat with firewood. I advise all fathers to watch their daughters. It's going down tonight. We got monsters in the crowd and they ready to fight. Metal fingers fix the beat with firewood. I advise all fathers to watch their daughters. We keep tricks up the sleeve, yeah. Coming through with the Justice League.
But you don't hear me though.
So army patches on my favorite coat. BMX got your guns, old folks got soap. Homeless Sally from Cali curse. Cats in the alley. Sounds so foul. He was on house with soap. Cats that never be smiling.
Never smile.
I called him, he sent me him on Monster Island. MCs be wildin'. You can catch me in velour suits. Lady J holding hands with the Baroness. Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes.
Don't got nothing on this.
I got them go-go gadgets. So when the Cobra Law come to the floor, snakes and baskets.
He's like Stymie from our gang. Guitar twang, try me and wah-da-da-dang. I don't think you wanna know. Even if you still do and want me to, I'll tell you. But then I have to kill you, will you? Please, it's like a grilled cheese sandwich. Gotta bring the butter, else the bread will get damaged. Flip it, slice it, make it half the basket.
We don't need no pop.
Revolution.
We hit cops with judo chops. And all you see is red, black, and green. No, I'm down for my scene. They killed Radio Raheem.
Now I wanna smoke a blunt.
You know, blow off some steam.
Open my mouth like Godzilla.
And all you see is light beams. This rap, this ain't all that it seems. You could leave it to the super friends
to spill the beans.
Thank you.
I'm on my way. Freedom land, I'm on my way. What a freedom land, I'm on my way. Freedom land, I'm on my way. Great God Almighty, I'm on my way. I asked my brother, oh, to come with me. I asked my brother, oh, to come with me. I asked my brother, come with me. I'm on my way. Great God Almighty, I'm on my way. I asked my sister, won't you go with me? I asked my sister, come go with me. I asked my sister to go with me. I'm on my way. Great God Almighty, I'm on my way. If they say no, I'll go alone. If they say no, I'll go alone. And I won't turn back.
And I won't turn back.
I'm on my way.
I'm on my way.
Lord, I won't turn back.
And I won't turn back.
I'm on my way.
I'm on my way.
I won't turn back.
I won't turn back.
I'm on my way. Praise God. I'm on my way.
ladies and gentlemen. We come to the end of another Lying Media Bastards radio show. That is, there was Panther doing a song called Uncertainly. For that, Mavis Staples doing On My Way, Ministry Just One Fix, Vast Air and MF Doom doing Super Friends, and we started that off with Death From Above, 1979, Romantic Rites. If you want to catch, if missed any part of the show, want to catch the whole thing, go to lyingmediabastards.com to download, or radioactiveradio.org, where we now will have all sort of news and links about our doings. And please, please, send me any songs you've got. I want to do a everybody's favorite song show in the near future. Send me your favorite MP3, lmbradio@gmail.com. Please, please, it will be cool and we will have a good show come of it. Thank you all for listening. See you all next week after? I forget.